300-acre prison farm. I drape a pair of black boxer shorts over the light above my head to make sure David is not woken while I continue my writing routine. He doesn't stir. At 7:30, I make my way to the shower room at the end of the corridor. 8 a.m. Dean accompanies me to breakfast. Porridge from Monday to Friday and cereal at weekends, he explains. I satisfy myself with a very hard-boiled egg and a couple of slices of burnt toast. 8:30 a.m. induction. During the first week at NSC, a prisoner spends his time finding out how the place works, while the officers try to discover as much as possible about the new inmate. My first appointment is with Dr. Walling, the prison doctor, who asks the usual questions about drugs, smoking, drinking, illnesses and allergies. After 20 minutes of prodding, breathing in, being weighed and having my eyes, ears, teeth and heart checked, Dr. Walling's only piece of advice is not to overdo it in the gym. "Try not to forget you are 61," he reminds me. As I leave the surgery, Doug, the hospital orderly, a friend of Darren, Wayland, marijuana only, beckons me into the private ward. Doug is 6 foot and about 16 stone, with a full head of hair just beginning to grey, and I would guess is in his late 40s. The ward has 8 beds, one of which is Doug's, as someone has to be resident at night in case a prisoner is suddenly taken ill. But what a job! Not only does Doug have a room the size of a penthouse suite, but he also has his own television and his own bathroom. He tells me that he's in for tax evasion, but doesn't elaborate. Doug closes the door to his kingdom and confirms that medical orderly is the best job in the prison. However, he assures me that the second best position at NSC is orderly at the Sentence Management Unit, SMU. Doug whispers that the SMU job is coming up in just over 4 weeks' time, when the present incumbent, Matthew, will be released. Mr. New, the senior officer, equivalent to Mr. Tinkler at Wayland, will make the final decision, but Doug will put in a good word for me. "Whatever you do," he adds, "don't end up working on the farm. Winter's not far off, so if the food doesn't kill you, the farm will." As I leave, he adds, "Come and have a drink this evening." By that he means tea or coffee. "I'm allowed 2 guests from 7 to 10, and you'd be welcome." I thank him, and silently my old mentor, Darren. Who you know is just as important on the inside as it is on the outside. 10:30 a.m. My second induction meeting is to decide what job I'll do while I'm at NSC. I make my way to the Sentence Management Unit, a building that was formerly the Governor's House and is situated just a few yards from the front gate. The pathway leading up to the entrance is lined with tired red flowers. The light blue front door could do with a lick of paint. It looks as if it is regularly kicked open rather than pushed. The first room I enter has the feel of a conservatory. It has a dozen wooden chairs and a notice board covered in information leaflets. 4 officers, including a Mr. Goff, who looks like a prep schoolmaster, occupy the first room on the ground floor. As he ticks off my name, Mr. Goff announces in a broad Norfolk accent that he will be speaking to all the new inductees once everyone has come across from their medical examination. But as Dr. Walling is taking 15 minutes with each new prisoner, we may be sitting around for some time. As I wait impatiently in the conservatory, I become aware how filthy the room is. At Wayland, the floors shone from their daily buffing, and if you stood still for more than a few moments, someone painted you. Eventually, all 7 new inductees turn up. Mr. Goff welcomes us and begins by saying that as most prisoners spend less than 3 months at NSC, the officers aim to make our time as civilized as possible while they prepare us for returning to the outside world. Mr. Goff explains that at NSC, anyone can abscond. It's all too easy, as there are no walls to keep you in.
"But if you do decide to leave us, please remember to leave your room key on your pillow."
He's not joking. He then tells us about a young man who absconded 16 hours before he was due to be released. He was picked up in Boston the following morning and transferred to a Sea Cat, where he spent a further 6 weeks. Point taken. Mr. Goff takes us through the jobs that are available for all prisoners under the age of 60, pointing out that over half the inmates work on the farm. The other half can enroll for education or take on the usual jobs in the kitchen or painting, gardening or as a cleaner. Mr. Goff ends by telling us that we all have to abide by a no-drugs policy, refusing to sign the 3 documents stating you are not on...